I came here tonight to show you from the Bible what we can do to make our church to be what God wants it to be. I see how we can do that, how our pastors can do it. It's our duty to do it. Thank God for the pastor we have. It's not his duty to do this. It's our duty to do it. Find 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In this chapter, we'll find out things we can do to make our church what God wants it to be. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I started at verse number 1. You follow in the Bible. Paul and Silas and Timothy, unto the church, see this is written to the church, not to the pastor, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Remembered without ceasing your work of faith, labor, love, and patience of hope, and our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father, knowing, brother beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in the power, in the Holy Ghost, in the much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. Ye became followers of us, and the Lord, having received the word in much affection, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, and not only Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God, word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for a Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Last Sunday, our pastor said this, if you find a perfect church, don't join it. It won't be perfect anymore. Remember him saying that? Because there are no perfect churches. The Scofield Study Bible has a title over this chapter that says, The Model Church. Kind of church that pleases God. Kind of church every church to be. The kind of church Crosspoint that your church should be. Things we can do to make it what God wants it to be. Let's find them. Stay in this chapter, and we won't jump around. Just stay here. This first chapter, look at verse number 7. Here's the first thing. Verse number 7. So that you were, what's the next word? Examples. So the one thing we could do to make our church to be what God wants it to be, where it be an example. There were examples to all that believe in Macedonia. Macedonia was a northern province of Greece. Achaia was the southern province of Greece. So there were examples to them. Verse 6 tells us how they were an example. Watch verse 6. And they became followers of us and the Lord. So they were followers of the Lord. Here's how we can be an example. To be a follower of the Lord. Having received the word in much affliction. They received the word, that's the second thing, with joy of the Holy Ghost. Those are ways they were examples. Now, we can be an example in these ways. Now, we read verse 6, they were an example how they followed the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 16, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross to follow me. Three things we can do to follow him to be an example. Deny ourselves, take up the cross to follow him. It means submission and service and steadfastness. It's one of the means to follow him. Submission, service, and steadfastness. That's one way there were examples. It's the second way there were examples from the verse. How they endured opposition. Oh, wow. When you read Acts 17, we will turn that up tonight. Acts 17, verses 1 through 10, tell you how Paul planted the church in Thessalonica. There was lots of opposition. 3 weeks Paul was there. He taught from the Old Testament and proved that Jesus was the Christ. Some Jews and Gentiles got saved. The unsaved Jews didn't like it. They caused trouble, big trouble. Opposition. so much opposition. Some people, some Christians were threatened to be put in jail. So much opposition that the other believers told Paul, you better leave town while you can. So Paul left. Opposition, they stayed steadfast during the opposition. They were an example how to face opposition. Like the early church in Acts 2, the church in Jerusalem, Acts 2 tells us those who were saved on the day of Pentecost, that they stayed steadfast. And those of you who have been in my new members class, remember the same things, how they stayed steadfast. Test Mr. Chosen can tell us those same things tonight. Okay, well, let's go off to hope now. They stayed steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, teaching, Bible teaching, Bible preaching. Stayed steadfast in fellowship, in prayers. Now it comes back, doesn't it? Yeah. In the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and prayers, in the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper. They stayed steadfast in the unity, harmony, and caring for each other, in giving, in praising God. All those things are there. This church that Thessalonica, in spite of opposition, stayed steadfast. They were an example of how to face opposition. That's the third thing, that verse 6. They were an example of how they received the Word of God. The great example. Now, let's find out how they received the Word of God. Go to chapter 2 of Thessalonians. Look at verse number 13. Watch what this says. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive, see the word receive there? When you receive the word of God which you heard of us, you receive it not as the word of men, but as it is the truth, the word of God, not which effectually works also in you that believe. Several things for this. How they receive the word of God. They appreciated the word. They said, when Paul preached, they said, this is not man's word, this is God's word. The Bible is God's word. Exodus 20 verse 1 says, God spoke all these words. He spoke it all. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scriptures given by the inspiration of God. All means some, most. All means what? All of it. It's given by God. So they received what Paul was saying. This is from God. Then they appreciated the word. Then the second thing, they appropriated the word. We saw the verse 13 twice. The word received is there. Means they received it. They said, this is God's word to us. This is God's word to me. When you read your Bible, this is God's word to you. When pastor preaches the Bible, this is God's word to you and me. They received it that way. They walked it that way. Three times in the Gospels, Jesus warned how to receive the Word of God. Listen to these three times Jesus warned. In Mark 4:24, Jesus said, take heed what ye hear. Be careful what you hear. There are lots of voices, lots of sin things people say. Be careful that what you hear, who you hear from. Be careful what you listen to, who you listen to. Take heed what you hear. The second warning Jesus gave is Luke 8:18. Take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear. Be careful that you're paying attention. Be careful how you hear. Some people don't pay attention. They sit in church. Pastor says something. It goes right by the ears. Sending in, out. They're not paying attention. In Hebrews 5:11, we some were dull of hearing. They're not careful how they heard. Then Jesus said, be careful, take heed what you hear, how you hear. Third time in Matthew 13:9, Jesus said, take heed that you hear. Make sure that you're here. You're there. You're here. You're listening. The words are falling by. Make sure that you hear it. Use every opportunity to hear God's word. To take it in. So they appreciated the word. They said, this is God's word, not man's word. They appropriated the word. They said, this is for me. Then they applied the word. is the word works effectually in those who believe. We read that verse 13. What's that mean? They put it to work in their lives. Put it to work. They said, this is God's word to me. I'm going to do it. An example, let's go over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Labor marker here. We'll come back to Thessalonians 1 later. Go to James chapter 1. Here's an example of how to apply the word. James chapter 1. Come way down to verse number 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to do what? Swift to hear, but slow to what? We talk too much, we don't listen enough. Right? We talk too much, we should be listening. Be swift to hear. Now look down to verse 21. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and nonsense, and receive with meekness the ingratitude word, both times about the word of God, to apply it. For we are to be swift to hear God's word, and we're to be careful to receive it. Now look at verse 22. But be ye what? Doers of the word, not hearers only. You see, what happens when you just hear, don't do it? If you hear a pastor's message, you don't practice it. What are you doing to yourself? What's it say there? You're deceiving yourself. The example in the next verses is a picture of a teenage boy who just gets up in the morning, looks in the mirror, his hair is all messed up, he's got back too much to sense his face, he looks real close, then he turns around, walks away, goes to school, he forgets the comb is here, washes up the dirt. Somebody says, hey, you forgot to comb your hair, forgot to wash your face. He thought it was okay because he looked in the mirror. Some people do that, they look in the Bible, they see something, don't apply to themselves, they don't become a doer, the word that deceiving themselves. Let's read the illustration, verse 23. For any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his face in a glass, a mirror. For he beholds himself, he goes his way straightway, forgetting what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law, this is the perfect law of liberty, God's word is. Look into it. Whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man should be what? Blessed in this. You want to be blessed? Be a doer of God's word. Put it to work in your life. Apply it to your life. Now let's come back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We learn one thing we can do to help a church to be what God wants it to be is to be an example, several ways. How we receive God's word. How we follow the Lord. Now there's something else here. Something we can do not to be an example. But in chapter 1, verse 8, for from you sounded up the word of the Lord, not only Macedonia, the northern province of Greece, in Achaia, the southern province of Greece. For from you, from the church of Thessalonica, sounded up the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God was spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. They were evangelistic. Not only an example, they were evangelistic. I don't mean by that they called Philip the evangelist, come over here, preach a week of meetings for us in the fall. They didn't call Peter, come over here in the spring, preach a Bible conference for us. They didn't ask Barnabas to come give a Bible conference in the summer. No, that's not the kind of evangelism we're talking about here. We're talking about the kind of soul-winning personal contacts they made personally. They had lots of people come to Thessalonica to buy things. They saw those people's prospects. Everybody on the street, in the neighborhood, everybody that they saw at the grocery store, at the shopping mall, was a prospect for the gospel. So they witnessed to everyone they could. Everyone was a prospect. For the gospel, they were witnessing the soul winning. They did that. That's how they were evangelistic. Just what we read in Luke 24, starting at verse 46. Thus it behooved Christ to suffer and die and rise again the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. And ye, you and I, are witnesses of these things. We are telling others how Jesus came, how Jesus died for our sins, how we save us, how we save them. That's our responsibility, friends. That's what we're to do. This is your duty, my duty. Not just pastor's duty. It's your duty and my duty. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is the course we sing sometimes, Pastor Chris. Around the corner, around the world, a soul needs Jesus. Someone who's never heard. That's our responsibility to make sure they're here. In Acts 1, Jesus said, ye are witnesses of me, Jesus said, in Jerusalem, a hometown, in Judea, a state where we live, in Samaria, the next state, in the uttermost part of the world, where there be witnesses here, right here, in Indianapolis. Everywhere you go in the state of Indiana, you go over to Illinois, those people need the Lord, amen. Over to Ohio, those people need the Lord too. When you pray for missions, give money to missions, you're helping to get the gospel around the world. So we are to be evangelistic. Personally, we are to do that. As we do that, as individuals, we're helping our church to be evangelistic, being what God wants it to be. The sum of thoughts here in chapter 1, they were also not only examples of evangelism, they were energetic. Look at verse number 3. See the words there. Remember without ceasing your work. See the word work? The work of faith. And next word, in labor, of love, work and labor. That's hard things to do. They were energetic. They were involved somehow, serving God somehow, doing something to serve the Lord. They found their place to serve the God in their church. That's what we should do. In my new members class, I urge the new members to get involved somehow, somewhere, some service. I was glad last night to see Mrs. Lining join the choir after that. That's what we ought to do. Not everyone should be in the choir, but everyone should find a place to service, do something for God, help in the nursery, help in the children's club, work at the Vacation Bible School this summer, sing in the choir, playing a musical instrument, find some place to serve us, get involved somewhere. The psalmist said, in Psalm 100, verse 3, serve the Lord with gladness. Are you serving God with gladness? Then in Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 5, question, who then is willing to consecrate his service to the Lord today? Who then is willing to consecrate his service to the Lord tonight? Who is willing to consecrate your service to God tonight? Where to be energetic? Find your place of service. Get involved somehow. Serve God. That's how we can help our church to be what God wants it to be. Now, so far, we've learned those things we can do to make our church what God wants it to be. Be an example. Be evangelistic. Be energetic. There's one more. Be expecting. I don't mean expecting a baby. Expecting Jesus to come. Look at verse number 10. Look at verse number 10. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, in Jesus. That word wait means to expect him to come. Are you looking for Jesus to come? He's coming sometime. Pastor has taught us that Jesus coming, second coming in two parts. Remember that? Pastor has taught us that Jesus' second coming is in two parts. The rapture and the revelation. The rapture before the tribulation. Revelation at the end of the tribulation. Then the rapture is coming in the air for his saints. In the air for his saints. The revelation is coming back to earth with his saints. Got those clear? Remember, Pastor emphasized that. Jesus is coming in the air for his saints, coming back to earth with his saints. Two postures is coming. We are to be looking for him to come, expecting him to come. The Bible says, yet a little while, he that shall come will come will not tarry. In Hebrews 9:28, unto them that look for him the first time should he come, without unto them that look for him, he will come the second time without sin unto salvation. First time he came to die for our sins. Second time he's coming to deliver us from the sinful world. Praise God, is coming. Hope to look for him. As we read in Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ, looking for him. Jesus said, as recorded in Luke 21:28, Jesus said, look, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. It's coming soon. Be looking for him. Did you know every chapter in 1 Thessalonians talks about the second coming of Jesus? There's more about the second coming of Christ in 1 and 2 Thessalonians than in Revelation, in Daniel, than in Matthew 24:25. You learn a whole lot about the second coming. Every chapter of 1 Thessalonians has something to say about the second coming. In chapter 1, verse 10, the second coming is salvation. And to wait for a son from heaven whom he raised from the dead is Jesus, which delivers us from the wrath to come. Salvation, the second coming is salvation. Go to chapter 2, verse number 19. Here's the second coming and soul winning. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence the ye are the people of the Paul born to Christ? His soul winning efforts. He said, you are my crown of joy and rejoicing. And Jesus said, his coming. So we have here in chapter 2, the second coming and soul winning. Over to chapter number 3, verse 13, the second coming and stability. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable and holiness before God, even the Father, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all saints. Then chapter 4 says, his coming in sorrow, not his coming in sorrow, in our time of sorrow. First was salvation. Second was in soul winning. Third, it was in stability. Now, chapter 4, starting with verse 13 through 18, his second coming in sorrow, not his, he's not coming in sorrow. Just comfort our sorrow. Look at verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerned them which sleep. Doesn't mean they're sleeping at home. It means they died. Believers who have died, their body is in a grave sleeping. Not the soul is sleeping. The soul is very much aware of what's happening. They're asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. Praise God, we have hope in Jesus. Unsaved people have no hope. We have hope. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also would sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him all our friends or loved ones, ones who were saved, who died, coming back to Jesus when he comes to receive us to himself. For this, verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, not by a pastor's word, not by some Bible teacher's word, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, see, Paul thought Jesus would come in his lifetime. I'm looking for Jesus to come in my lifetime. I'd rather go home by the way of the rapture than by the way of the death and grave. Amen. So we could put ourselves there. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede those which are asleep. For the Lord himself, he won't send an angel, he won't send Gabriel or some other Moses or some disciple. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead of Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up. See the word caught up? That's the rapture. The word rapture is not found in the Bible. It's a Latin word. It's not a Greek word. It's a Latin word. It means to be caught up. So the idea is right here. So if we're living when Jesus comes, we should be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. See, remember the second, first part of the second coming is the Lord. We meet the Lord in the air. We go up to be with him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with his words. Now, chapter 5, this is the second coming in sanctification. chapter 5, verse 23. In the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have in every chapter something about Jesus coming. His coming in salvation. Chapter 1, verse 10, is coming in soul winning. Chapter 2, verse 19, is coming. Chapter 3, verse 13, is coming in our still did D. Let's come back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look to verse number 3. So far we learned four things we can do to make a church to be what God wants it to be. We must be an example, must be evangelistic, and energetic, expecting Jesus to come. Now look in verse number 3. Remember, while ceasing, mark these phrases. Your work of faith, your labor of love, mark work of faith, mark labor of love, and patience of hope. That's the three phrases here. Work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. Now, just look over to verses 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10 explain those things for us. The work of faith is found in verse 9, where he says, how ye turn to God from idols. That's conversion, salvation. The work of faith is salvation, conversion. How they turn to God from idols. You turn to God from sin, that's salvation, conversion. This is a great example of repentance. You turn from wrongdoing to the Lord. That's the work of faith. Now the labor of love is found at the end of verse 9. The labor of love is to serve the living and true God. To serve what kind of God? A dead God? No, it's life. To serve the living God. We sing the song, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. He lives, he lives. You ask me how I know he lives, because he lives in my heart. He's a living Savior. We serve the living God. That's the labor of love. Then the patience of hope. This is verse number 10. To wait for his Son. So the work of faith made them examples in energetic. The labor of love made them evangelistic. The patience of hope made them expectant. Got all that? If you didn't get it, meet me in the choir afterward. We don't have time to go on. I mean, to finish that. I'll preach it again to you. So the work of faith made them examples in energetic. The labor of love made them evangelistic. Patience of hope made them expectant. Every church is made up of people. A church is made up of you and I. The word church means an assembly of believers, a called out assembly. Cross Point Baptist Church is a called out assembly of people, you and I. If our church is to be what God wants it to be, we must be examples. We must be evangelistic. We must be energetic. We must be expecting Jesus to come. That's what we are to be. We are to be examples, evangelistic, energetic, expecting Jesus to come. If we are that, then we're doing what God wants us to do to make the church what he wants it to be. Question you tonight. If everyone in our church was the kind of church member that you are, what kind of church would we have? If everyone and our church was just like you, what kind of church would we have? Are you an example of what a church member should be? Are you evangelistic, trying to win souls to Christ? Are you energetic, involved somehow serving God? Are you expecting Jesus to come? That's how we can make our church to be what God wants it to be. Now would you stand with your heads bowed close, please? Eyes closed, heads bowed, eyes closed. Stand with me, please.